Well, good morning. Another beautiful day in the South. Another rough day in the South with weather. Praise God for taking care of us during those storms earlier this week, huh? Let's just begin this morning with a little prayer. Father, thank you this morning for that love. It's a love that places immense value on the relationship. It's a love that's very hard for us to comprehend on this side. Because, Lord, even though we say we love you, I believe for myself, kind of hold a little back. Am I willing to trust you completely this morning? I don't know. Holy Spirit, I'm praying you'd help us. Holy Spirit, I'm praying for some revelation, some insight, some favor this morning. Lord, I pray your presence would not just be in this room, but moving and speaking and motivating. Father, I ask you to protect our hearts and our minds at this time. May you be glorified. May you be honored today. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Well, today's sermon is a conclusion to a series that we began about 6 weeks ago. And today's title of the message is, Are You Living the Life You Were Meant to Live? That's the series title. And today specifically is, Are You Listening? When you've been married 26 years, you've heard that question a lot. And I've been married 26 years, and I've heard that question a lot. Are you listening? Maybe. Sometimes. Also, when you've been married 26 years, you've learned how to fake listening. Husbands should say amen right now so I'm not alone. Amen. All right, thank you. Thank you. Students, for your teachers, you should be thinking, yeah, I've learned how to fake it pretty well. So are you listening? We're going to be looking at the story of Cornelius and Peter this morning, but before we get into that scripture, John, go ahead and let's review for just a moment. These are the gentlemen that we looked at, some stories about them with a question that we put forth for most of them except one, and that is we looked at the life of David, and are you living selflessly? Are you willing to put God and others before yourself? And Barnabas, the man, the encourager, do you have a big purpose? Are you living life with a grand purpose in mind? Are you living a life that honors God? Then we looked at the life of Joseph, grace and mercy, with the interaction with his brothers and having dreams and how their lives were impacted through the course of history and how God has used that story through history. But grace and mercy, Joseph showed some. God shows a lot. And then Jacob, are you really free? He had tricked his brother Esau, married a couple of women, decided he needed to come back and repent, restore the relationship with Esau. But are you really free from the past, from bondage, from hurt, from disappointment? And then last week, Pastor Rick looked at Moses. Can I change? Can you allow God to use his events or the events in your life to change you and mold you to what he wants you to be and what you are becoming? Because God's not finished if you're still breathing. So you're still in the change process. It's really the question of, are you cooperating with what God's doing? Or have you decided that you're going to put your feet down firm and say, God, this is all you get of me? And then today, Cornelius, are you listening? Is your heart receptive to what God's doing? Or have you tuned him out? Are you wanting to just hear what you want to hear, not what God is saying? It's an important question in these times that we live in because there's so many voices that are options to listen to. So are you listening? So we're going to look at the story of Cornelius, a centurion, a Roman, a Gentile, as his life crosses paths with Peter, a devout Jew, the disciple who decided that he would choose convenience over obedience. He would choose denying Christ three times versus following him no matter where it led. So we see the intersection of two men's lives that were not perfect, but God was doing all the first five to be able for them to listen and to teach them to hear God very specifically. So let's read the story, John. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in to say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He's lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related the story to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on his housetop about the sixth hour to pray and became hungry, and he wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance, kind of like Dane daydreams, and saw the heavens opened and saw something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals, reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times. See a pattern there? Peter, he's a little slow. He always needs it in threes. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house and stood at the gate, and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I'm the one you're looking for. What is the reason that you're coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them to be his guest. The next day he rose and he went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell face down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and he found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then, why you sent for me?" And Cornelius said, "Four days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord.'" John, you go ahead and put the first point up. Are you listening today? Two men that previously did not know each other, God is speaking to simultaneously. The first point I ask you to consider this morning, are you listening? Hearing God and being obedient are directly related. Make that day-to-day faithful obedience is connected to hearing God. To be able to hear God and what He is saying, Cornelius simply had a habit of doing what was stirring in his heart. He was faithful to be a God-fearer. And he was faithful to be nice and kind and loving to the Jewish people. And all the while, Peter was just simply doing what he had always done, seeking God. He wasn't seeking God on God's terms. He was seeking God. One of the things about Cornelius that's important for us is this. Until God captures your heart, until your heart becomes passionate for Him, there will always be a struggle to know exactly what God is stirring in your heart. There is something God has planted in you for you to be passionate about, that stirs you up, that excites you. And it has to be something that's of God or it'll fade away. So I ask you this morning, are you listening? Are you hearing God and being obedient directly related? Yes. But it's a day-to-day thing. Too often, I believe in our culture, that we get back around to doing things instead of being consistently obedient. I ask you this morning, to ask yourself this morning, are you being faithful day to day, the things that God has put on your heart? Are you being faithful with those things? Cornelius and Peter, Joppa was about 30 miles away. There was no way they should have ever met a Jew, a Gentile. The point of the dream from the vision that Peter saw was is using the animals to represent something that was unclean while Peter was hungry. You know, so often I believe in my life, something that God has done, When God wants to point out something I need to work on, He'll bring somebody into my life that sort of has that same characteristic or that trait or quality that I don't like about them. And then so often I look at them and I think, you know what? I think God's showing me something that He wants to see my life to be different. Evaluate your life honestly this day. Peter and Cornelius had a powerful truth encounter. And it was not on their timing. It was on the timing of God. There was much grace given. We don't know how long Cornelius had been faithful, but apparently it had been a while. Number two, John. God may be speaking to others so He can complete what He is saying to you through them. You probably by this point, most of you, because I've looked at your faces for years, okay, probably are sick of hearing the importance of the body of Christ, or the sick of hearing about why you need to be in the fellowship with other believers. It's probably to the point where you quote it probably subconsciously without even having to be told. But right there, I want you to think about something, two things. One, that one of the points about being in the body of Christ is others that are praying for you, others that you have a relationship with that you trust, if they're praying for you, then they should be hearing God for you. A. And B, God can use people that don't even look like you in at all to speak on His behalf to you. Think about that for a second. God used somebody in Cornelius' life and Peter's life that was an intersection to complete what He was stirring. Cornelius probably had absolutely no clue this was going to happen. He just knew that he had to continue to be kind and loving and compassionate to a group of people. Something was stirring in his heart. I know today that all of us have something that God is stirring in our heart. I'm not saying it's about convenience. I'm not saying it's about ease. I'm saying that God is saying something to you today. And I just want to ask you, are you giving Him all options to speak to you? Are you giving Him all options? Cornelius saw a vision of an angel. Peter saw a sheep come down with animals that was forbidden for him to eat. So God was giving him, a taste of what was to come. And he had some time to think about it. Point number three, John, are you listening? Listening to God's voice might take us out of our comfort zone. I've been telling you already, Jew, Gentile did not cross paths. There's a good point. There's a parent inherent to the story that neither one of these guys knew who the other one was. So when they first met face to face, they were meeting somebody that in the past they would have never probably even talked to or acknowledged. So sometime when God is telling you something or talking to you about something, it might take you out of your comfort zone. It might be He might be asking of you to become a little inconvenient. He might be asking you to send someone a message to that you've been aggravated with. And God just needs you to say, I just want you to know I'm praying for you today. 2 years ago, last May, Amanda and Matthew Pell, that most of you know, they know this story, by the way, so I can tell it out loud because I actually had to confess this is sin to them. 2 years ago, Matthew and Amanda Pell live in Texas. And Matthew was graduating from college in Texas. And Amanda sent me a text that week and said, hey, if you want to watch Matthew's graduation online, here's the link. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I go to a lot of graduations, okay? And I'll be honest with you, sitting down in front of a laptop or an iPad or a computer, well, let's just say, not exactly like, yes, thank you. I get the opportunity to watch something online. Awesome. So I immediately did what I'm very good about is, you know what? I'll probably forget by Friday. It's no big deal. Friday morning comes. I haven't forgotten. I get up and I say, I'm going to mow the yard. I'll just kind of forget about it. So I'm mowing the yard. I can't forget about it, no matter what I'm doing. So I have one more great built-in excuse. I look at my watch and I go, awesome. It started at 10 o'clock. It's 11:15. And I'm not kidding myself. This is no truth. It'd be just like this. Hey, Dane. Texas is behind you in time. You haven't missed anything. I'm like, ugh, God, you're right. So I was like, okay, I give up. I surrender. I'm going. So I go inside and I click on my little iPad to the link that Amanda had given me. And it's a Christian college. And so they had a little worship time. And I really wish I could convey this in a story, what happened next. Because if you never had this happen, I'm going to be honest, you're probably going to be lost. Okay? But I don't know, it was a local pastor, and he stood up. Because the camera was in front of him just like this, like I'm looking at you, I got my little iPad. Attitude still stinks. Like, God, please let this get over with. Okay. He stands up. He looks at that camera, and he's really looking at his group, and he says, when Jesus looked at Peter after the denial, in essence, when he restored him, he was telling him, Peter, you have not become yet what I have intended for you. And I want you to know something. I began to cry. I said, God, I got it. I got it. Through my hard-headedness, my selfishness, my laziness, you would not give up on me. And you know what the irony is about all of it? Is I kept watching and I miss Matthew go across the stage. He's an A. I should have seen it easily. But it was unmistakable. Be careful to use your terminology, me use my terminology on what it means to be taken out of a comfort zone. Because where God's sending you, where God has you, where God's placing you, what you are becoming should not be out of your comfort zone. You should be hitting the sweet spot in God's will. And there's a big difference. So when you think God's taking you out of your comfort zone, all He's saying is, no, I got you in the current. And watch what happens on this ride. What's going to happen? I'm going to use what's been going on in your past. I'll use what's on in the present, and I'll use on the future because I am not done. So be careful to use your terminology. I need to be careful to use my terminology when I say, God's taking me out of my comfort zone. Now, God's just using me right where He needed me all along. Somebody needs us today. Somebody needs us. Number four, John. Have a posture for listening, a readiness, a want to hear God. Look, God doesn't speak in broken sentences, but sometimes He'll speak in parts so you can have some time to process it. So you can say, God, can I have more understanding? God, what do I need to do to get ready for what You're going to speak next? God, how are You arranging the events, the circumstances? God, I don't understand it all, but prepare my heart and my mind. You know, the Bible talks about repentance. Clean heart, clean mind. I think that's part of being ready. You can't be ready to be used if you're not ready to listen how to be used. How can God send you? How can God call you? How can God use you if we have decided that we will only be available when it's convenient? Have a posture for listening, a readiness, a want to hear. I challenge you to pray a prayer that says, I don't want to hear God, but I want You to change my heart to a want to hear. And whatever You're willing to speak, give me Your grace to help me process it. Also, something else too is this. Whatever God has been speaking to you, a few things. Maybe you need to gather some people around your life and say, I need to clarify this. Maybe you need to let God just finish speaking to you. Maybe God's been speaking to you in a dream. Maybe God has been letting down a sheet with a bunch of animals in it in a vision, and all you can think of is, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Have a posture for listening, a readiness, a want to hear. What's at stake? How about instead of making a list, let's just make one word. Everything. Everything is at stake. We're going to enter a time of prayer here in just a moment. I put all those questions up for you to think about. Is there a desire to hear God on God's terms, not yours? Maybe not. Not if, but what has God been speaking to you? What circumstances are you in that God is using you to speak? And are you listening? Is your heart one that God, emotionally speaking, not physically speaking, is it in a condition to receive what God is planting? Some seeds. Are the seeds of your falling on your heart, is it finding hard ground? Is it finding shallow soil? Is it finding a place that will be plucked away by the world's worries and the pressure of life? We have so much at stake at this time in history that to get around back to saying, I don't know what God's saying, or I think I'm missing God, let's don't buy into that anymore. Let's look at those questions. Let God speak to your heart this morning. You have a card that you can fill out for prayer requests, praises, thanksgiving. you're surrounded by a body, I'm going to pray for us and then just give you a moment to think about those things. And then Brother Rick will come up and I'll be up here and Brother Gary will come up and play a little music. And you don't have to wait till I invite you. You can come to the altar and pray. Or you can bring your cards and your envelopes, put them in our baskets up here. Oh, there's some on the back. But the one thing I want to ask you to let God speak to you about today, and it may not be during our time together. You know, some of you are more excited that you're off work tomorrow than you probably are anything, okay? So when you work through that excitement, maybe then God can speak to you about some stuff, okay? But this is one thing I ask you to let God speak to you about. What are you becoming? What are you becoming in Christ? Not, I know my identity is in Christ. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, what are you becoming? Let's pray. Father, you're a God who cares immensely for us. That's evident in the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. God, I'm praying today you would help us tune our ears to the voice of God. But Lord, also help us to be honest with ourselves and say, yes or no, we have been listening. And what are the conditions to our listening? Or, no, don't really care. But I know I should care. And we give you permission to change that. Lord, during these next few moments, whatever you're stirring, may we be obedient with it. We put all this before you. As we open the altar, your cards, your envelopes during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Kim, you want to come on down? This is Miss Kim Irby. Everybody give her a hand. This is Kim's last Sunday as a Georgia resident with us for right now. So, Kim, why don't you just tell us briefly where you're going to be going and just give us a little nutshell thing.
I am moving to Mississippi to live with my mom, who is a wonderful, spirit-filled Christian lady. I think we're going to be real good for each other. I'm going to convalesce and relax and rest and continue to heal. So,
all right. Well, we want to pray her out this morning. So if you want to come on down, we want to pray over and anoint her. Here, why don't you stand in front? Right. You can stand in the middle. You know, this Kim was kind of like a modern-day version, so to speak, of the Cornelius Peter thing. People that would have never knew each other, didn't know each other a few years ago, crossed paths for a divine moments, didn't we, Kim? And we're not done. We're not done. So I'm just going to anoint her. If someone wants to speak out a word or blessing as I begin this time, we anoint our sister in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in praise and worship. Father, thank you for the impact both ways. But Lord, we know you're not finished either. Lord, as she continues the healing process, the resting process, the restoration process, we say praise be to God. But we are asking for it to continue and move quickly. And you know, God, where you're physically taking her is one thing, but you're also taking her places spiritually. And we thank you for that, God. Lord, I ask for that healing, complete healing upon her. Lord, I pray for the relationships that she needs to make in Mississippi. I pray for the favor. I pray for the going before by the Holy Spirit of God to provide that those relationships, the ones that need to build her up and the ones that she needs to build up. We do pray for her family. Lord, this is a season of change. And God, you work mightily in those seasons, powerfully. And so, Lord, we thank you in advance. We thank you for what you did, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. Lord, we pray in faith. And, Lord, we thank you for what Kim is going to become into the future. You know, God, only you could bring people together that would move to Richmond Hill, Georgia, and find their way towards downtown Savannah. And we thank you and praise you. And, Lord, may that encourage all of us. That's how much you care. That's how much you love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.
Thank you, everybody. I love you guys.
All right, guys. You didn't take your cards and envelopes to a basket? Throw them in there on your way out. And have a happy Memorial Day.